Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on a Football Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe, I am Ben, and we preview the entirety of a Sunday slate in week number three of this NFL season. We'll also set the stage in our third hour for college football in week number four, a triple header of college football games on this Friday night. So much football coming your way for the rest of our time here up until 11 a.m. Eastern, Joe, on the Early Line.
Yeah, I am all for it, Ben. I mean, we've got it's kind of go to school time. It's put up or shut up time here for the NFL. And quite honestly, week four of college football, Ben, we're starting to see a lot now. Conference games taking center stage, and we're going to learn a little something about a few conferences and a few teams, aren't we?
Statement Saturday, statement Sunday to make your early season promise feel even more legitimate. And Joe, that's the theme of this segment to start hour number two and the two games that we will preview. There are only two matchups, which is rather surprising, week three, that feature two undefeated 2-0 teams, and both of them are maybe not the games that you would have expected entering this season. We start in Minneapolis. The Texans 2-0. All right, that makes sense. They were booked as a favorite in both. The Vikings 2-0. What? Minnesota and Sam Darnold are undefeated 2-0? Yes, that is the case. The Texans, a slight road favorite in the Twin Cities on Sunday. 2.5 points in favor of C.J. Stroud and the Texans. 45 in a hook is that over-under. So, Joe, when Sunday in Minneapolis comes to a close, will the odds makers be correct? Will it be Houston, a perfect 3-0, and Minnesota suffering their first loss? Or can the Vikings pull off another home upset like they did last week against the Niners?
I don't understand this line, Ben. I mean, I really don't. Now, granted, preseason, the look-ahead lines here were everyone had Houston being at the top, right? But when you look at the two games that they've had already here and you look at how they won those games, they were favored by 3 against what? Indy, they won by 2, right? Then they were favored by 6.5, and they won by 6 against Chicago. This Houston, I'm not sure this Houston defense deserves to be a favorite on the road against a much better than thought Vikings team with Sam Darnold under center, who head coach Kevin O'Connell has. Wow, I mean, we've seen stranger things in the NFL, but coaching matters. And that offense, Ben, one of the top in the National Football League right now with what they're doing and how they're scheming guys open. That's a tough place to play, but Minnesota's defense, why is nobody talking about what they've been able to do here? I think the wrong team is favored here. This would be a Vikings or pass for me in this spot.
Yeah, Joe, listen, I don't think we can really fault that assessment based on how good Sam Darnold has been this season. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson, a couple of touchdown catches as well. And he did leave the game early against San Francisco, but is expected to play in this one on a Sunday against Houston. And the Texans are a perfect 2-0. But based on the hook last week on Sunday night against Chicago in a closer game maybe than expected, albeit a road favorite of more than 3 in a divisional matchup to start a year, the Texans have not covered in either of their two games this season, both as a favorite, 0-2 against the spread. And it's maybe the only blemish for what has been a wildly successful start to his NFL career for C.J. Stroud. Now that Houston has the optimism and expectation, they are going to be a favorite much more frequently than they were a season ago. They were the underdogs to start, then booked as a favorite later in the year. Joe, just 3-7 ATS as the favorite side under C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, we were expected. The questions that I had with Houston here, Ben, you can tell me if I'm crazy, is that you got to worry about that whole sophomore slump with Stroud, as great as he was last year, but that's a year of film now for defensive coordinators to get on. And yes, he's got a ton of weapons, but that doesn't mean anything. Can that offensive line hold up? And defensively, I think we just penciled this team in to be some sort of unbelievable stop group here, but that's not what we've seen through the first couple of games here. They're winning games, close games, which is important, but this is still a very young team with a sophomore quarterback where I think, Ben, at some point they're going to lose more games than they probably should because of that inexperience, and this could very well be one of them.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, Joe, because C.J. Stroud has been good this year, more than 200 in both. He has not turned the football over. It's what made him so successful in his rookie season. As some take their lumps and struggle, C.J. Stroud just did not. The Texans well under on Sunday Night Football against the Bears. Minnesota under in both. Speaking to your point, Joe, about how good the defense has been under Brian Flores, they held a Niners offense to only 17 points. Well, they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and Debo Samuel got banged up. Doesn't matter. That was the case pretty much for week number one against the New York Jets. They scored 32, and it could have been a lot more, settling for a lot of field goals with Jake Moody, and they held the Giants, and I get it, it's the Giants, albeit on the road in MetLife, to just 6 points. Total at 45.5. Maybe keep an eye on that number if Minnesota keeps this game close, as the odds makers are expecting, despite the fact the Texans are a road favorite. Again, that's one of the two undefeated 2-0 matchups we have. The other one, also rather surprising, I guess, but Jim Harbaugh wins football games wherever he coaches, and the Steelers win football games under Mike Tomlin. What a matchup we have in the Steel City on Sunday. Just 1.5 in favor of the Steelers, minus 120 on the money line. It is the lowest total of the entirety of the week three slate at 35.5. Quarterback questions is the title of the game board, Joe, and that is fair. Justin Herbert dealing with an ankle injury. He suffered late in Carolina last week. Not sure it matters. Jim Harbaugh can suit up and hand the ball to J.K. Dobbins 50 times in this game, and we still expect it to be Justin Fields starting for Pittsburgh. Joe, let's go big picture first before we dive into the game. Is Justin Fields going to start the majority of the games at the quarterback spot this year in favor of Russell Wilson?
Well, that's a great question here, Ben, because he is just one of, one of three quarterbacks that has not thrown a turnover-worthy throw. In other words, he didn't throw it 2 yards. It should have been picked, Ben, but it wasn't picked kind of throw where we've seen a lot of guys. He has not had one of those. Is that even remotely close for a guy that has had 41 turnovers in the last 3 years? Is that even possible to sustain? At some point, I think Justin Fields is going to turn into a pumpkin. Those throws, those turnover-worthy throws, will end up as a turnover. And guess what? Russell Wilson will be there. So enjoy it while you can. They're going to have to rely on his arm at some point, and I think that'll be the determining factor if he stays under center.
They have not asked him to do a ton, 43 pass attempts in total. He has thrown for 156 yards or less in both, but he has done what has been necessary. You would be surprised, I kid, to know the Steelers have also been under in both of their first two games this year. Same case, though, for the Chargers. Why? They are going to run it down your throat if they are able to. Justin Herbert, Joe, I joked that his ankle injury wasn't really a big deal because Jim Harbaugh could be there. But Herbert, in his 5 years now in the National Football League, has thrown for less than 30 attempts in a game in back-to-back games for the first time ever. That's what happened this season to begin. So as we look at this game, it's close to a pick 'em. It's 1.5 spread. The total is low at 35.5. Which way are you leaning for Sunday in the Steel City?
This game comes down to whether or not that rookie right tackle, Joe Alt, remember, Ben, there, the big guy on Notre Dame that they ended up drafting in the top round? Yeah. Can he hold his own against TJ Watt? If he can and gives Herbert time to throw, Chargers win. If he doesn't, you know what happens there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Joe Alt has been great so far this season. He gets a great test on Sunday against AJ Watt. Much more from the Week 3 slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday night football for week number 3 in the ATL as the Falcons get ready to host the Kansas City Chiefs. 3 weeks, 2 primetime standalone games for KC. Same story for Atlanta. It's a new era for the Dirty Birds after a come-from-behind victory in about a minute of game action led by Kirk Cousins on Monday in Philadelphia. They return home to host the Chiefs. KC, though, of course, a road favorite, laying a full field goal. 46.5 is that total. Joe, 3 being a very key number in the National Football League. Just how important is it on Sunday night in Atlanta?
Oh, this is big. What a schedule, by the way, to start for Atlanta. Look at these games they got to go through, Ben, to start the season here. It's kind of crazy. But having said that, I feel like we're watching the Kansas City Chiefs on replay here year after year, right? There are in the September and October, Ben, you watch the Chiefs and you go, oh, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the same team. This guy's gone. That guy's gone. They don't look. Oh, my goodness. They're barely winning. And then, of course, come November and December, we're like, I told you the Chiefs were great the whole time. I don't know why you guys thought they were no good. And here we are, rinse and repeat once again. The interesting thing with Atlanta is, and you tell me, Kirk Cousins still is not pushing off his back foot. It still looks like they're going out of the pistol. He even said after the game, I'm not sharp enough. And I still think that's going to take time. But the problem is, it might have worked with a less than Philadelphia defense. I don't know that Kansas City is going to defensively allow him to find his groove here. I think this is a much lower scoring game than some people think. I like Atlanta's defense, but it's going to take Kansas City a little while to get the engines revved, and I'm not buying Kirk Cousins yet. I don't think he's 100% healthy, and I don't think he looks anything even close to what we got with him in Minnesota.
The Falcons have now spurned me twice, Joe. The team that I circled entering this year to be one of the best scoring offenses in the league has gone under in both of their first 2 games. And it wasn't all that close in either, despite 43 total points on Monday night in Philadelphia. Kirk Cousins did throw for 241, would be over his Sunday night football passing yards prop against Kansas City. But of course, 70 of those 241 came on the final possession of the game. 6 plays, 70 yards, 65 seconds to find Drake London in the end zone for a Falcons touchdown. I was told we had these props. Hopefully we can pull them up. Patrick Mahomes, 261.5 is his number. And Joe, Isaiah Pacheco was really the leading engine of that offense last week against the Bengals. Now, Mahomes has gone over this number. He threw for nearly 300 in the season debut against the Baltimore Ravens, but he hasn't been great. 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions last week, barely over a buck 50, 2 TDs to 2 INTs. Carson Steele has the rushing yards prop at 45.5. Kareem Hunt back with his former team. Will he already factor into his first game on Sunday Night Football? That remains to be seen. Rashee Rice has been really good this year. Travis Kelce has been basically non-existent. When you look at the player props for Sunday night, which individuals do you think impact the outcome either way most?
Well, I think Bijan Robinson is a guy you got to look at because I do believe that Atlanta, you know, it's a very bend but don't break Spagnuolo defense, right? They're very okay with hitting running backs out of the backfield. They're okay with those kinds of plays. They try to limit the big plays down the field. I think Bijan Robinson, if Atlanta's going to have any success in this game, he has got to be involved not only with running the ball, but he's going to have to play a big part of in the passing game as well and get the ball in his hands, give him as many touches as possible. I think that's going to be a matchup. And oddly enough, or strange enough, Ben, there is a name on that list that's not on there, and that's because they have not been on the same page, and that's Travis Kelce. He has not had a good start to the season, and I don't think with Jesse Bates covering him in this one that he's going to have some sort of breakout game. So I'd be looking to fade Kelce props in this game as much as possible.
Just one catch for 5 yards against the Bengals last week in week two. Only 4 total grabs the entirety of this season. Bijan Robinson has been the guy this year that everybody thought he might be in his rookie season under Arthur Smith. However, he has yet to find the end zone this season. His rushing plus receiving yards prop is 106.5, a number he has been over in both games so far this season. 122 with 97 of them coming on the ground against the Birds on Monday night. A minus 140 price for Bijan Robinson to finally find pay dirt. He did so only 8 total times a season ago. So the Chiefs are the Super Bowl favorites entering week 3 at 5-1, with the largest gap, Joe, we have seen all year, 1.5 in front of the 49ers. Why? San Francisco upset last week in Minnesota by the Vikings, and I think it's the injury concern for the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey on IR. Debo Samuel going to miss a few weeks with a calf injury. And George Kittle missing practice yesterday as well. Now, the Niners are still a hefty favorite for their Week 3 matchup in L.A., where the story of this game is not who is there, but who is not. The injured reserve list for the Rams is lengthy. It's nearly a touchdown spread in favor of the Niners, but it was over a touchdown, 7.5 in favor of San Francisco earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of uncertainty. As you can tell, Ben, the look ahead total in this game, too, was 48.5. And look at where we are now, 43.5. And I don't, in good conscience, think we can look even remotely close to an over still, even at that low number with these two teams. Not with the current state of the rosters the way they are.
Yeah, I don't know. 43.5 being that number. We have already seen Jordan Mason excel in his 2 starts this year for Christian McCaffrey, 100 on the ground, and the Rams have been getting ripped up on that side of the football. It will be one of the ways that I look at this game in our pick 6 later on. Brandon Ayuk now, though, needs to step up. 72.5, his receiving yards prop. He has really not done much after getting the bag late in the off season. Also, keep an eye on Jordan Whittington, the freshman out of Texas, or the rookie out of Texas. They like him in L.A. More from the Sunday Slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some more games on Sunday from the Week 3 slate to break down. In the early window, a couple of compelling spots that feature young quarterbacks. Joe, later in the show, we'll talk about the Big 12 battle, a top 15 tilt for your alma mater, Oklahoma State, hosting Utah. Cam Rising, if he plays, we don't really know what his status is. He's 25 years old in his 7th year of college football. Alan Bowman, also in his 7th year of college football, the QB for the Pokes. He is 24 years old. Their combined age, 5 years older than the 2 starting quarterbacks we will see on Sunday in Indianapolis. It's Anthony Richardson for the Colts. It's Caleb Williams on the other side for the Bears. Neither guy has been all that sensational this year. Of course, a lot of focus on the number 1 overall pick in Caleb Williams. Just 1.5 in favor of Indy. 43.5 is the total. What do you think happens on Sunday in Indianapolis?
Well, what I think is I think the Bears win this game rather easily. And you're going to see the growing pains of what's going on with Richardson, who, by the way, is without a doubt one of the worst passers in the NFL right now. Not because he lacks the talent or the arm strength, but simply because he has no idea where the ball is going. And I'll take you back to his, you know, what it feels like his 1 year at the University of Florida, where, again, we all went, wow, this kid has got unbelievable. What talent on you got? Yeah, great. Except he has no idea where he's throwing the ball. And that is not going to work against this Bears defense. Also, the Bears, Caleb Williams, he's had his own issues. But look at the defenses Caleb Williams has had to face versus who he's going to be facing now, which, of course, no DeForest Buckner. We know that they don't get after the quarterback. They're not going to get in Caleb Williams' face like Houston did. I think this is going to be the biggest running game for the Bears. I think that once again, Anthony Richardson is going to make two or three bad throws. The turnovers are going to do them in here. And I do think this is where Caleb Williams and this offense of the Bears excels.
So here's the issue for Caleb Williams, at least so far. His offensive line looks absolutely awful. The worst security you would ever see trying to keep him upright. Sacked 7 times on Sunday Night Football in Houston, leading to him having to break out of the pocket and run a ton where he hasn't looked very comfortable. He had 5 carries for 44 yards, but hasn't really been the groomed and polished quarterback we expected the Heisman winner to be, at least early in Chicago, where he has often said he's not nervous, he's comfortable, he's ready to go. Not really the case. But outside of that, Joe, 5 carries, 44 yards for Caleb Williams. He was Chicago's leading rusher against the Texans. They had 17 total attempts as a team for 27 yards. And DeAndre Swift, who was paid this offseason, just 14 attempts for 18 yards. However, if Chicago was going to figure it out offensively and on the ground, Indy might be a great team to do it against. 261 yards allowed last week against the Green Bay Packers. All right, they were going to run it a ton with Malik Willis, and they ran it 53 times. But Joe Mixon had 30 carries for a buck 59 in week one. It could be an opportunity for the Bears just to say, we're going to run it down your throats. And then quickly, Joe, just to your point about completion percentages for both of these quarterbacks, this is really Anthony Richardson's de facto rookie season, as we have said often. And his main criticism out of Florida was not his arm talent or athleticism, but in his only season as a starter for the Gators, 53.8 was the completion percentage. He is less than 50% so far this year, 49.1 of qualified starting quarterbacks. That is the worst. Caleb Williams, though, not much better, 56.1%. Bo Nix, also a rookie quarterback, taking his lumps so far. Multiple interceptions in each of his first two games this year, where the Bucs have been very good, off to a 2-0 start, laying near a touchdown at home. Will Bo Nix lead the Broncos to an upset on Sunday in Tampa? Will the Buccaneers start out a perfect undefeated 3-0?
It certainly feels like that. I mean, look at the market certainly believes that. I also believe that we're going to get more points than the market thinks in this game. I do like the over here. I think points are coming. I think they'll have more success than they've had in the first two games offensively here against a very banged up secondary of Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa was not great defending the pass last year, second worst in the National Football League. Bo Nix had to throw it a ton last week. Sean Payton saying, you're going to learn one way or the other. The Bucs have been a great underdog team the last 2 years. 9-4 against the spread, and then the victory outright as the underdog last week against the Lions. Not as good covering numbers as a favorite. Still think they win cover. Mike Fluitt joins us next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It would not be a Football Friday on the Early Line without the services of one Mike Blewett. Big Blue joins us live right here on this Friday to get you set for everything you need to know around week three. Mike Blewett, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on TEL.
Thanks, gentlemen. Good to be here. Obviously, got off to a interesting start last night. The Jets fans are feeling great this morning. It's been a long time since the Jets have been good and the Patriots have been this bad. So a rare blowout for the Jets in the Jets' favor.
In blue, it's a little bit different than maybe we expected, or at least we had seen in the first 2 weeks. The Jets did cover as a road favorite in Nashville against the Titans, but it wasn't easy. And the Patriots were keeping games a lot closer than anticipated in weeks 1 and 2. Not last night. The New York Jets winning 24-3, as you can see. Gangrene easily covering as a 6.5-point home favorite in their home opener inside MetLife Stadium. In blue, throughout the show, Ranieri and I have been saying we are going to learn a ton in week 3. Are teams as good as we have seen? Are teams as bad? Can they get off the schneid? So I ask you this. What did you learn from Thursday Night Football to kick off week 3?
I think what we saw from the Jets in the first couple of weeks, and had anybody been watching it, it was clear that Rodgers was a little rusty, that the offense in general was a little rusty. No real live reps during the preseason. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers dealing with an injury all of last season and rehabbing it. But last night, they shook off that rust pretty well. Plus, they now have an added weapon in Braylon Allen that maybe we didn't expect to have coming into the season. He completed passes to 8 different receivers. It was pretty easy pickings for him last night. And on the flip side, the Patriots are clearly struggling everywhere on offense. Just 11 first downs, 148 total yards. They got dominated. The good news for the Jets is that there's a dearth of pass rushers on the team right now, the Jets still do a very good job of getting a push with a 4-man rush. So they don't have to send the house in order to get it. So they're still doing well in that regard. And Williams obviously is in the middle of all that against an admittedly weaker Patriots offensive line.
It's a shock, though, because like we had all said, if you protect Aaron Rodgers, you better upgrade that offensive line in the offseason. And what grade would you give them? And did you see enough to think that the Jets are going to go over their win total? And did you see enough from the Patriots last night to go, they're still not getting the 5 wins here?
So Morgan Moses going down last night could be an issue for the Jets. We'll see the severity of that injury and how long he could conceivably be out. I would say that the Patriots, the one upside for the Patriots is that they know who they are. Right. I don't think they're trying to play beyond their means. That's not necessarily a compliment, but they're not trying to do anything terribly complicated. They just got dominated last night. Now, was the end of the game a harbinger of a real quarterback change? I still think they should leave May on the sidelines only because Brissett was tortured last night. He got beat up pretty badly. He was missing throws, but he also was getting beat up, and Drake May will suffer the same fate if he comes in. So I still don't like the Pats to get to that win total, but they have shown their ability to take the air out of the ball, run clock, and be able to stay in games, although last night wasn't the case. The Jets, I'm leaning towards the over. Miami's a weaker squad than they were coming into the season, whether you were a believer or not. They are now decidedly weaker without their starting quarterback. I think the Jets are a good football team. A lot of people have been saying it. There's always going to be a level of disbelief because it's the Jets and their history, but it's a talented football team, and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, and he was playing like the Aaron Rodgers of old last night.
And a divisional win for the New York Jets, who entered the season as the divisional favorites in the AFC East. The AFC East odds still not available. Buffalo probably in front, but not maybe by all that much in front of New York. All right, Blue, let's get to Sunday. Statement Sunday. We are going to learn a lot in week number 3. And, of course, a ton of focus will be on Dallas. Are the Cowboys about to start 1-2? If they do, that means the Ravens start 1-2 to pick up their first victory of the year. But if not at the Star, the Ravens would start 0-3, just one team since 2000. The 2018 Texans started 0-3 and made it to the postseason. The Flock, a very slight road favorite in Dallas on Sunday, but it's a virtual pick 'em. So, Blewett, who wins?
So, Tough call here, obviously, but I'm going to lean towards the Ravens. They do need to clean some things up. They have offensive line issues as well. Can Dallas take advantage of that early? That could tell the tale of the game if Dallas is able to get after Lamar Jackson and make him uncomfortable or force it into, as Rainieri and I have been talking about every Sunday, the Lamar show. Just things break down. Lamar's got to save the entire team every single week. That can't be a plan long term. I like the Ravens, but what I would say is that the Ravens have hit the first half money line in 8 of their last 10 games, so they have been getting off to good starts from last year. This year, obviously, sputtering a little bit more on offense. But my favorite pick in this game is, while I like Baltimore, my favorite selection in this game would be the first half over. Both teams are good first half offensive teams. And at 23.5, I think that's a little bit too light. I think we can see some points early and have a 17-14 kind of first half. So give me the first half over 23.5.
So, Mike, I don't think I'm overstating it. To me, this is so far, it's only two games, but this is the most surprising team as far as I'm concerned. The New Orleans Saints and what they have done. I mean, they scored on their first 6 drives in Dallas against that defense, and every but one of them was at least 70 yards. So they're able to throw it deep. They're able to run it. They're able to get the big scores. The defense is playing well. Is that sustainable at home against Philadelphia?
I think they scored on 13 drives in a row, Joe, between the first two games. So it's been impressive. Philly's big issue right now, it's not really hard to discern what's going on. They have no pass rush. They have 3 sacks, and 2 of them were by a middle linebacker in week 1. That huge, vaunted defensive line, which is young and talented, is not getting any pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, and it's what leads me to my favorite bet here. I think Derek Carr, given what we've seen in the first 2 weeks and Philly's inability to get after him, I like his over on passing yards. I think he's going to be too comfortable throwing the ball, and at 232.5, which he hit in week 1, not in week 2 because of the extreme blowout, I think Derek Carr is going to get there. That's too low of a number in order for somebody that's going to be comfortable throwing the ball all day to get there. I do think we see points. 49.5 is a lot, but I think we're going to get pretty close, if not over that. The Philly, at least, has to show some ability to make stops defensively.
The Eagles were the 3rd worst passing defense in the NFL a season ago. Kirk Cousins had 241. Jordan Love threw for 260 plus as well in the Sao Paulo opener. And Blue, just to your point, the Eagles, when they won the NFC and made it to the Super Bowl in 2022, were only 2 sacks behind the monsters of the Midway Bears, who had 72, with 70 total sacks for the 2nd most in a single season in NFL history. It's been anything but in 2023, and now at least to start 2024. Blewett, we have 2 perfect 2-0 matchups on Sunday, including a game in Pittsburgh with your Steelers as they host the Chargers as a 1.5-point favorite. Quarterback questions. We expect Justin Fields to make his 3rd straight start for Pittsburgh. Justin Herbert dealing with an ankle injury. We'll see what his status is as we approach Sunday. But do the Steelers start 3-0 this year, Blewett?
Hell yeah. Steelers by a million, buddy. I'm a Steelers fan. Let's keep it going. I think, in all seriousness, I think the one thing you can count on are rushing attempts. J.K. Dobbins, just 12.5 rushing attempts. Najee Harris, 14.5 rushing attempts. It might be a struggle for teams to get the ball back with the way they're running it, but I think that's where we're at, over on rushing attempts.
More game breakdowns from the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of course, part of the big news in the National Football League this week as it pertains to quarterbacks, the benching of the number 1 overall selection from 2023, Bryce Young in Carolina in favor of the Red Rocket. Andy Dalton makes his first start this season. His second start in the last 2 years with the Panthers, this week on the road in Las Vegas. The Raiders won outright as the largest underdog of week two. 8.5 points was the spread, and no matter for Las Vegas coming back from down by double digits twice in the second half. 5.5-point spread now, Blue, in favor of the Raiders as Andy Dalton gets the start for the Panthers. 39 in a hook is the total. The Panthers have won 2 games since the start of 2023. 2-17 in the last 2 years. And, oh, as a dog, in all 19, 4-13-2 against the spread. Will it look better at bare minimum with Andy Dalton under center on Sunday in the desert?
Just answering your question specifically, will it look better? Probably a little bit. But I do not expect the Panthers to score 16.5 points, which is where their team total resides. I think it's too high. I thought the Pats team total last night was too high. I think the Panthers team total is too high. They need to prove to me that they can get to 17, 20 points a couple of times before I stop betting their team total unders. So that's my favorite bet here. Yes, I do think the Raiders are going to be able to cover, but I'd rather bet on, because the Raiders have had some struggles offensively as well, I'd rather bet on the Panthers to not score a lot. And given the fact that Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins gave hell to the Ravens last week, I certainly think they can do it to the Panthers. So maybe Dalton's finally able to get them into the end zone with some consistency, but I don't anticipate it. I think he's going to have a tough day too.
Talk about tough day, tough week, tough information here. The look-ahead line for the Miami Dolphins was they were going to go to Seattle and be a favorite, Mike. And now, not so much. We are starting to see a little bit of buyback here on the Dolphins as this thing was as high as 5.5. We're seeing 4.5s here, 41.5. It's still the same weapon, still Tyreek Hill, still Waddle, but I don't – do you trust that Miami can keep this thing competitive?
So the one upside to it is that from the time that they drafted him, Skylar Thompson has been looked upon favorably within that building. They kept him around as a backup for the last couple of seasons, and they certainly feel like he obviously started a playoff game for them, and they feel like he's in a position where they can run, he can run this offense the way they need him to run the offense. So while it's a downgrade, I don't anticipate that the wheels completely fall off Miami's offense. So I understand why people are taking the points here. Seattle hasn't looked great in the first couple of games. So I get it. I think Miami has a shot to cover here. It doesn't necessarily mean they go out there and get the W, but I don't think Skylar Thompson's going to be a disaster, which is what the line and the huge movement suggest.
This will be his fourth career start, 2 in the regular season in his rookie year in 2022, of course, when Tua Tagovailoa was dealing with the head injury issues, and started the playoff game in Buffalo, 18-45 for 220, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. Seattle has allowed 20 points, both to the Broncos and the Patriots, who are not necessarily lighting the world on fire offensively in their first 2 weeks. Just something to pay attention to. Blewett, we thought at the end of the Brazilian opener on the first Friday night of the NFL season that Jordan Love could miss a considerable amount of time. The fear was, torn ACL, maybe out for the remainder of this season after getting paid in the offseason. But then those fears were quelled a little bit as it was just a sprained MCL, still going to miss a couple of weeks, 2, 3, maybe 4 games. He was back on the practice field on Wednesday. He has been practicing with Green Bay. Do you think there is a realistic chance, Mike Blewett, that Jordan Love plays on Sunday in Nashville? The odds makers maybe not thinking so. The Packers still a 2.5-point dog in Tennessee.
I don't think that the Packers are so oblivious to this situation that he's dealing with a knee injury. And I don't think they would have him out there if it was risky. So I do think there's a realistic chance. It doesn't mean that I would bet on him to start, but if they're having him take reps, he's obviously getting close. So if it's not this week, it's probably next week, which is still a better prognosis, Ben, as you alluded to, a better prognosis than we had originally. So I don't think they would have him taking reps if they thought it was risky or if they still thought he was still a few weeks away. So we're getting close, and it may be as close as Sunday. In terms of the Titans, I mean, geez, they are the most deserved 0-2 team out there probably because of the absolutely ridiculous mistakes that they make. It's starting with Will Levis. So they've earned both losses. They're not as bad as some of the other teams, but they've earned both of those losses. And until these stupid mistakes go away, I can't reasonably bet on them. So I still like the Packers, even if it's Willis.
You and I threw up watching the Lions last week. One of seven in the red zone is not going to get it done. 27% in the red zone so far. They were 67% all of last year. If that continues, they're not going to win a lot of games, Blewett. Does it help here at all in Arizona?
Well, the problem is that Arizona is one of the teams that's looked incredible offensively. So can they trade punches with Arizona all game long? Now, six red zone trips without a touchdown. The Lions hadn't done that since 1981. So I don't expect any kind of repeat performance. I think you just have to wash your hands of it. Very difficult performance. You and I were both pulling our hair out watching them fail in the red zone. But I love this game. I think it's going to be one of the best games to watch all weekend. I do expect points, and I really can't wait to see another team try to trade blows with Arizona. Very fascinating offense this season.
It's going to be a great game. It's a full field goal in favor of Detroit. The Cardinals have been booked as an underdog now in 18 of 19 games under Jonathan Gannon. They're 10-8 against the spread as a dog. They covered last week as a short favorite against LA. We'll talk more about what might be one of the underrated best games of the weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So in the afternoon slate, maybe you'll be focused on Dallas between the Ravens and the Cowboys, or an NFC West showdown, although injuries front and center between the Niners and the Rams. But make sure you are paying attention. On Sunday, and I know these guys will be previewing that football game in Arizona, the Cardinals play and host to the Lions. Again, 3-point spread in favor of Detroit. The over-under is the highest of the week three slate at 51.5. The Cardinals have been great offensively this year. The Cardinals have covered both games so far this season. In the last 2 years now, from the start of 2023, so year plus, let's call it, the Lions have been the best cover team in the National Football League, 15-7 against the spread. But Arizona, 11-8 against the number in all 19 games under Jonathan Gannon, 10-8 against the spread as an underdog. They find themselves as a dog again. Should be a great matchup. All right, let's get to one of the other games we have not hit on just yet, and that might be for good reason. We go to Cleveland. The Browns are a 6.5-point favorite against the New York Giants. The total is 39.5. Fluid, if you had to play this game, and I'm making you play it, what are you doing?
I am going back to where I went earlier with the Panthers. The Giants are not scoring 16 points in this or maybe any game. So 15.5 is their team total. I'm taking the under here for the G-men. Just too many issues blocking, too many issues trying to get the ball into the end zone. They did it three times last week. Obviously, they had a kicker issue, but so they did go over this last week. But against the Browns, who are obviously another banged-up team, I think you keep it under on the Giants. I don't think they're going to get into the end zone three times again against a team like the Browns, who have, like I said, their own issues, but defensively they're pretty sound, a lot more sound than the Commanders are at this moment.
Actually, first time they're anticipating the actual five starting offensive linemen, including Conklin and Jedrick Willis, will be on the field for the Browns for the first time in 20 games. So that's interesting. I also find the line interesting in this Minnesota-Houston game because, call me crazy, Blue, I don't see the right team being favored. To give Minnesota a chance at home as a dog seems tempting.
Yeah, certainly they got it done last week. They've been Brian Flores has done a really good job with this unit. Obviously, pretty interesting stat. They're leading the league in getting to the QB on a three-man rush and leading the league in getting to the QB on a six-man rush. So if they're sending a lot, they're getting there. If they're just bare bones in a 3-4, getting push on the quarterback, they're getting there. So they have different style. What it points to is the different styles and different looks that Flores is willing to give you, and their defensive backs are still awesome. So defensively, this is a really strong team. I hear where you're coming from, Joe, to just automatically anoint the Texans to be favorites no matter where they go is a lot. Kevin O'Connell has proven to be really good with Sam Darnold so far. I think the Vikings are the one team where we aren't so sure about their season going in, but they're one of the teams, along with, I would say, the Cardinals, who we just finished talking about, that maybe we underestimated how good they could be coming into the season.
The Vikings played a lot of close games last year. They did it in 2022, of course, as well. They were 5-3-2 against the spread as an underdog, showing that those games were what the odds makers expected for the most part. And with C.J. Stroud, the only blemish is the Texans covering numbers as the favorite side. Just 3-7 now against the spread. They have not covered in either of their two games as a favorite this year. Let's end with Sunday Night Football, Mike Blewett, in Hotlanta. The Falcons, a home underdog, getting 3 points, that flat number of 3, against the Chiefs. Kansas City, 2-0. But ever so slightly, Atlanta storming back on Monday night in Philadelphia. What do you see for Sunday Night Football?
Good one. I like, obviously, Atlanta coming off an emotional win, a surprising win, but a short week for them against the Chiefs. I hate to bet the road favorite here, but at a flat 3, I'm willing to do it. 3.5, it might change my mind, but at a flat 3 where it is right now, give me the Chiefs. I don't think Atlanta's quite at a point yet where they can knock off the defending champs.
46.5 is that total. We shall see how many points we get on Sunday night. Blewett, we appreciate the time. As always, we'll see you on In-Game Live game day on Sunday alongside the man to your left, Joe Ranieri. Have a great weekend, Mike Blewett.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We appreciate your time always. Hour 3 of this Football Friday is up next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.